Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. And we're loaded up today as we come to you. Got to thank our friends down here in Palm Beach, Florida. We're at News Radio 1290 WJNO. And I got to see Rush earlier today, and he's going to be on Hannity tonight. He was so on his game. It was so much fun. And so we hope you tell your friends about it. He just has this ability to cut through all the nonsense and give an incredible perspective. And we talk about everything. I mean, we went over the NFL. We went over Congress. We went over the president. We went over the deep state. We just pretty much no topic, nothing off limits. And it worked out really, really well, et cetera. Look, I want to start with a couple of things today, and I know we've talked a lot about the NFL. I'm just not done yet. Why am I not done here? Because I don't think this is over. I honestly think the NFL at this point in time, I guarantee you behind the scenes, there has been hours and hours of emails and phone calls and et cetera, that if we ever heard what was happening, we'd be like, guys, this is football. You know, one of the reasons I train mixed martial arts and is, number one, I get bored on a treadmill. Do you ever run on a treadmill? There's nothing more dull in the entire world. And it got to the point there were no more movies to watch. And I just was like, this, I can't take it. The thought of getting up and running 45 minutes, walking fast 45 minutes on that thing, it just made me nauseous. Anyway, so my doctor friend 5-6 years ago, whatever it is now, he tells me, well, I got my black belt. It took me 10 years and it was worth everything. And he goes, I think you're going to really like this. And there's something about being able at this point, and I now train 5 days a week. This is all business for me now. And it's hard, and I've broken fingers, and I've gotten black eyes, and I've had bone bruises, and we grapple and we punch and we fight. And it's just a great workout. I'm gonna say this. When I'm doing it, I'm not loving every second of it. I don't think anybody, but I love, mentally it makes you tough. I mean, we have certain days. We have one day we call real day, and that's real life situations where somebody will come up behind me and they'll start choking me out. I mean choking. I mean they've got both carotid arteries. I mean that if I don't get out of it in 14 seconds, I'm going to drop. And I've never dropped yet, but I've come really close where you just feel, and you just have to do something. And then there's pain day, where literally you just lay your arms out and they just pound on your arms to toughen up and calcify your bones and your hands and your arms, et cetera. And then you just, you know, because we do a lot of core work, 100 push-ups a day, 100 sit-ups a day at least, and then other core work. So it's pretty demanding. You know, it's kept me in great shape. I'm stronger than I've ever been in my life. I have the confidence that I know I can defend myself. And the reality is when we're watching football, I think one of the reasons everybody loves football and hockey so much, and I played hockey as a kid, is it just is a, this is a guy sport. This is, you know, punch hard, be hit back harder, and fight hard. And it represents, I think sports, the greatest thing about sports is it really represents and mirrors real life. It's why I wanted my kids to play any sport. And they did play a bunch of sports, and they do play sports. And it's because, guess what? You're going to learn to win and lose. You're going to learn the harder you work, the better you're going to do. You're going to learn that sometimes your best effort isn't enough sometimes. And you're going to learn the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. So I just love, and everybody relates to it. And then when you get, think of how many people make the pros. It's a very small percentage. I mean, think of all the college football players out there. And right now, I'm not really paying attention to the NFL. I'm sick of it. God save the Queen. We'll stand for that, but we're not going to stand for the national anthem. The Jaguars and Ravens just threw me over the edge on Sunday when they were playing in London. I had a friend that has a box in London. They actually told me that they left. They just said, I've had it. And I'm sure a box at a football game is a lot of money. But I rented a box once for one game. It was like a fortune. So anyway, but you think of the college players and college draft day. Why is college draft day, you know, a really big, important, fun thing to watch? Because maybe on every team, even like championship teams, like Alabama, I mean, Alabama pretty much has, you know, Nick Saban has a championship team every day. Probably one of the best coaches ever. I was really sad about this whole Rick Pitino thing in Louisville. We'll get to that if we have time later. But anyway, so they're only picking, and all these college players, college athletes, student college athletes, they got a pretty hard job because not only they got to keep their grades up, they got to do regular school, regular college, and they're practicing. And when they're not practicing, well, they're either recovering from injuries or they're seeing trainers or they're in the weight room and they're getting bigger and stronger. And, you know, they're just pushing themselves to the limit. And these coaches are serious. They want to win. I've never met a coach that wants to lose, that would be happy losing. You know, that's why, you know, I think one of the appeals of Trump is win. Let's make America great again. Let's win again. Let's be successful again. So my point is on college, you know, draft day, you only pick a couple, even though probably every one of those kids' dream was to play in the pros one day. And it's such a great honor to even get drafted, even get drafted late. I forget what round Tom Brady went in, but it was not the first round. And you know, it's just is pretty amazing. Why is Linda leaving the studio? Why are you leaving? All right. So anyway, what's bothering me about this is now the teams don't know what to do. I can tell you what the answer is, but you're not going to listen to the answer. The answer is, you know, there are other ways. If you don't like things in this country, we do have an ability and a system by which we have proven again and again that we will right wrongs and we will correct injustices. You know, example, Exhibit A, we had good people fighting in part. Now, I'm not saying the Civil War. I don't want to rehash the Civil War. I'm not the Civil War expert. In part, states' rights. In part, the issue of slavery. All a part of it. But from the get-go, our founders and framers, you can go back and see in their writings, many wanted to abolish slavery. And the others believe that we never would have a union if, in fact, that battle was fought then and there. But instinctively, many knew that this was evil, just evil. But our framers and founders, and then, you know, the very people whose monuments we now want to demolish and tear down. And I think O'Reilly had a good point about this. One of the reasons they want to tear this stuff down is because ultimately, fundamentally, they want to get to the whole predicate of the argument is that America is fundamentally corrupt. America fundamentally was founded by bad people. And the whole system needs to be blown up. That ever happens, that America, we know that, as I've quoted Barry Farberall this week, that accumulated all this power and never abused it, like so many other countries throughout history, and used it for the advancement of human good around the world, and stood up against evil again and again and again for people. So what I'm trying to say here is really, really simple. The answer for these guys is honor the flag. think a little bit more deeply about what it is that you're doing. I don't even think there is a cohesive agreement in terms of what it is that they're protesting. You know, think of the civil rights movement in 64 and 65 and the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, 64, the Civil Rights Act, Voting Rights Act in 65. You know, you think of, you know, when I was in Atlanta, I got such a history lesson from those people that were friends with Martin Luther King. And imagine having dogs turned on you. Imagine having bricks thrown at your head. You know, Congressman John Lewis was in the middle of all of that, took a brick in the head. And I got to know one of Dr. King's best friends, Hosea Williams. And then, you know, people that followed, and Joseph Lowery and Maynard Jackson and Andy Young. Never agreed with them politically. I always got along with all of them, and I learned a lot. And I learned it at the root of who these men were. They were courageous. They were warriors. They changed the world for the better. They made America better. And there is a forum, and there is a mechanism, and our founders are the ones, believe it or not, that put the system in place where we, if we choose to, can right wrongs, correct injustices, overcome evil, and make the country and make the world a better place. I don't think any one person can define what it is that they're trying to communicate here. You know, when you get back to the whole issue of Ferguson, Missouri, for example, you know what? I think I was like one of the only people on TV saying, hold on a minute. Woo. I'm not so sure. And the guy that robbed the convenience store with Michael Brown is on TV saying, you know, hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't. That never happened. And we know it never happened because when we finally, when the grand jury decided not to indict Officer Darren Wilson, they did so based on the testimony of many, many eyewitnesses who all said the same thing. Michael Brown charged the police officers. Michael Brown, you know, reached into the cop car to take his gun. Michael Brown was charging Darren Wilson after being told to stop. He was the one that was intimidating the clerk. You know, the president rushed to judgment on Ferguson. The president rushed to judgment, Freddie Gray, 8:30 in the morning, cop on a bicycle. Let's take off and run. Everybody rushed to judgment. Everybody in the media rushed to judgment. The media, wrong again and again, you know, stirring up racial animosity and tension. Like I say, we see every 2 and 4 years in the political world. Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman. Well, until we heard from the one eyewitness in the case that saw Trayvon on top of Zimmerman grounding and pounding his head into cement, and it was George Zimmerman that was screaming so loudly it was picked up on a house recording fighting for his life, well, it gave a different perspective than the rush to judgment that Obama gave us. So I'm going to work on something. It kind of came out of the discussion I had with Rush today, and he'll join us on Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern on Fox. That I think, you know, do they really want to solve the problem? I've always said I want this show to be about solutions. I want this show, you know, if the election was about the forgotten men and women in America, what about solutions here? What about a better solution here? Anyway, we'll talk about that more tonight, 9 Eastern, our new time on Fox. Rush will join us then. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a busy day today, and we'll get into my interview with Paul Ryan last night. We'll check in with Larry Kudlow today. Our friends Jonathan Gillum and Rick Unger will battle it out today. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. There are ways to make things better in society. There are platforms in which you can make things better. But you know what? The NFL telling camera operators, Red State reported this today. Aren't they big fans of me over at Red State, Sweet Baby James? He's looking at me like, they don't really like you, Hannity. They think you're, you know, they're never Trumpers over there. That's fine. I don't care. Why didn't the TV network show angry, booing NFL fans Sunday or Monday? Sporting News. Mike McCarthy writes today. It's a good question. I'll tell you one thing that the NFL can't do. They're not going to win this battle. They're not going to win it. And if they, you know, if there was a specific reason that was given, what is the reason except what? Colin Kaepernick had socks on that depicted police officers as pigs. Colin Kaepernick praised a murdering dictator, Fidel Castro. So, I mean, that's where it got started. And he's never registered to vote, as we reported earlier this week. And the NFL, which I love and admire, and again, I like to watch the best of the best of the best athletes go out and compete and battle in a sport of frankly, they're warriors, which is why I love MMA and boxing and every other sport that I love. And they go out there and they compete. And I always thought one of the best incredible moments that was such a great example for everybody is they go out, they're trying to win, they're giving their heart and soul. They work so hard in the offseason, they work all year long, they play, 16 games a year, they want to get in the playoffs, they want to get the Super Bowl, they want to get the ring. And then at the end of the game, there's one side's going to win, one side's going to lose. I guess they can tie now, right? Rarely happens, but it can happen. And you got guys from both teams, and I know you don't talk about this on MSNBC, conspiracy theory news, because the other night when Roy Moore was mentioning God, I hear he's talking about God the whole time. He's not talking about Trump. We can't be listening to that. They get in a circle, and they say a prayer. And sometimes the refs join. And it's like, wow. They're still friends. Then you watch them. They shake hands. They pat each other on the back. They bang their shoulder pads. They hit their helmets. They bang heads. They shake hands. It's the coolest thing. And right now, that's not the Sunday I'm seeing. I want that Sunday back. I don't know if it's going to be possible. Quick break. We'll continue. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. Many thanks. We're in Palm Beach today, News Radio 1290, the Palm Beach's news source, a great station down here, and had a chance to sit down with Rush, and it was actually just an amazing interview. And we're going to play at least part one of it tonight on Hannity, depending on what might break between now and 9 Eastern. Remember, 9 Eastern is now the new time of Hannity on the Fox News Channel. Our new slot is our old slot, which is now our new slot again, if that makes any sense. Anyway, 9 Eastern, not to confuse you. Apparently, Rush talked about it today on his show. I didn't hear. I do want to hear it, and Linda pulled it, so let's play. I want to know what he said. Go ahead, play.
Folks, if you could have seen this place about a half hour ago, maybe 45 minutes, you would not believe that we would ever do a radio show out of here today. The Hannity crew showed up, what'd they get here, at 6 a.m.? And these tech people on TV shows, they showed up here at 6 a.m. The interview starts at 9:45. They were all set up and out of the studio when I got here. So I was able to get here about 8:30, start doing some prep work. Hannity and his crew roll in here about 9:15 or 9:20. We start the interview at 9:45. It's over. Then they start tearing down, and they're gone. It's amazing. There's no evidence that anybody was here, and yet there must have been 35 people in this building, all told. But it was that interview went longer than 45 minutes, didn't it? Or was it about 45? I didn't check the clock either way. But it's a two-parter on the Hannity Show on the Fox News Channel tonight, part one at 9 o'clock, and tomorrow night, part two. And it was awesome, folks. For once, I'm kind of eager to see it. I never want to watch myself on TV. I never like it. But everybody just raving about this. Snerdly was raving about it. Catherine was raving about it. Dawn was raving about it. Now, when they don't like it, they say so.
It really was amazing. I can't even explain it to you. And I don't even want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. Because it was really Rush in his zone. I'll just put it that way. You know, sometimes you watch golf. I'll talk about individual sports for a minute. You watch tennis players, and both my kids have played competitive tennis, and every once in a while they're just zoning and zoning and zoning. And if you see a professional in the zone, or if you see, any professional quarterback, let's go to the NFL. A buddy of mine, Greg Moscheri, Bugsy, just wrote me that Tom Brady was picked in the sixth round. I had forgotten. He wasn't picked number one, wasn't picked in the first round. He's the best, one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback ever to live. And I know people are saying, because if you're not a New England Patriots fan, oh, I hate Tom Brady. You got to admire just how amazing he is. You know, I just, something about quarterbacks in football, one of the things you got to love about football, it's like all of a sudden you see the replay and it's like right, a quarterback throws it right over the tippy top of somebody's finger, a defender's finger, right into the arms of a receiver, and or my favorite pass is over the shoulder into the end zone, touchdown, and they practice it where all the quarterback does is throw it to the spot and they time it. All right, ready, go, boom. The ball's in the air. The receiver's like halfway towards the corner. Then he gets in the corner, puts his hands up. There's the ball, perfect throw over the defender, into his arms, two steps in, touchdown. It just doesn't get any better. It's so frustrating that this game that everybody loves so much is now dealing with all of this garbage. It's so simple. I'll join. You know, we had Spencer Tillman on CBS. You know, he's an I happen to be a fan of sports broadcasters. And, you know, I always loved radio from when I was a kid. I mean, it wasn't turn off the TV in my house. It was 12 midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I got 50,000 watt radio stations on listening to, you know, crazy talk radio. You know, Roy Masters scaring the crap out of me about, you know, how your mind could keep you well in a moment of truth. And he's like, well, there's evil in the world. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm, you know, 12 years old listening at night. I'm like, this is scary. One of my favorite late night radio guys in New York was Barry Farber. Guy speaks 30 languages. He's just a genius. And I got a note from Barry because I mentioned him earlier this week because I quoted him all week because he was the guy that he always said, you know, that there's never been a country that accumulated more power and abused it less than the U.S. Never been a country that accumulated more power and used it to advance the human condition than the United States of America. If I could say it better, I'd find a way and I wouldn't have to quote him every day. But he's just brilliant. And he just had all these different styles of radio that I listened to. And Bob Grant, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it. Get off my phone, you creep. Just it was entertaining as hell, and he was hated all these years. And did these hosts say controversial things, that they have controversial guests? And, you know, it's, yeah, they did. And, you know, and then you think of, you know, liberals like Barry Gray. He was on the station we're on in New York now, you know, the all-new AM 710, WOR. And he was on for years. I just had a great, remember with WMCA in New York, Good Guy Radio, and WABC when it started. And when Rush came on WABC, I think it was 1988, and he did amazingly well. And Ed Koch even did a program, Stop, and he still got huge ratings. He would scream at everybody that called into him. And I don't know, I just love radio. I love sports radio because I couldn't do sports radio broadcasting. I've mentioned they have rivalry night in hockey. And I'm going to forget his name again, Linda. I always forget it. And I'm so embarrassed because he's like one of the best people that's ever broadcast. I'm sorry, say it, what? Yeah, oh, Emmerich, yeah. If you got a cut, Jason, pull it up. And hockey in particular is like so fast moving. And then every name is either, you know, a long Czechoslovakian name or a long Russian name. And he's got to fire those names out. Boom, 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 boom. Up to the point. Back to the point. Back to the slap shot. Slap shot. Oh, miss. Save. Henrik Lundqvist. Whoa, what a glove save and a beauty. And these guys do that. Same with football players. Listen. This is great.
The backbreaker of game six last spring has broken the tie. To it is Donskoy. Got it on around further for Tierney. Turn around, but Donskoy goes around behind and it's shot. He scores! But they are devoting all their energy to this game, both teams. Off got the tie-up. It is fair, but it came back to Yandel. Drive by Girardi and a save.
It's just a gift, and it's just talented, and that's why we love sports. You know, I had on Sebastian Gorka last night in the A block, and who is he? He was debating Daryl Parks. It was really good debate. Daryl Parks, he was the Trayvon Martin family attorney, and he and I were on different sides on that, and we were on different sides in the Michael Brown case, and I just come to love this guy. I mean, he's such a good-hearted man. I know he sincerely believes everything he says. I just disagree. Dr. Gorka goes on this little rant, and he's like, you know what? Those guys that fight in these wars for our freedoms to protest and our freedoms that we take for granted every day, and honestly, you know, we don't wake up and go in the shower every morning and go, oh, gee, I live in America. I'm free. No, most of us wake up in the morning and we're like, oh, I got to work 18 hours. Oh, I got to shovel coffee down my throat. Oh, my phone's buzzing already. Oh, my text is blowing up. Oh, sweet baby James, what do you mean? Oh, you got to do an interview. Oh, by the way, the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS all said horrible things about you today. And James reads this crap. And I'm like, I don't care about this crap. I'm not going to read it. You know, I just got a call from Fox. Apparently some guy at the Washington Post has been stalking me for like eight weeks, and he wants answers to questions. I don't have any answers for the Washington Post. I agreed to one interview because Fox wanted me to do an interview with somebody. I'll tell you about it when it happens. We'll know next Monday. And anyway, I said, fine, I'll do one interview with somebody I know that probably hates my guts. Fine, we'll do it. And I'm just... It doesn't get you anywhere. I don't think they want to know conservatism. They don't want to know where I've stood my whole life. You know, or if they'll say, well, the president likes you, and, well, therefore the president must listen to you. The president doesn't listen to me. The president is his own man. Do you know how many people told the president in the course of his campaign, stop tweeting, stop, or before you tweet, think. You know, you don't have to give us every single solitary thought that goes through your head. I said it to the president myself. He kept tweeting. So I have so much influence on the president. I got him to stop tweeting. Yeah, right. Good try, Hannity. I've actually come around on it. I'd say 95-7% he's communicating to the public what he thinks and what he believes. And he's bypassing these jerks that used to be well-respected that nobody gives a rip about anymore. You know, that's why I think one of the reasons that the media has become so rigidly left-wing and ideological is because that's probably for them the only way they can now make money is they want to get every liberal to buy and click and click and buy and buy and click. And a regular headline that says, oh, Donald Trump kept his promise isn't going to get any clicks. But if you say Donald Trump, he once talked to a Russian model. Oh, he once talked to a Russian business person. That's going to get clicks because the conspiracy just gets fed, and it gets fed in this sewer of Democratic lies. And it's just like this intramural club of people that hate him. And they're all in the media. I honestly think at times I'm like a sole voice of reason because I like the agenda. I like America being America first. I like the idea of securing our border. I like the idea of saying radical Islam and identifying those that want to kill us. I was in New York on 9/11. I like the idea of helping the forgotten men and women in this country so they have the ladder to success that Sean Hannity, the former paperboy, and Sean Hannity, the former dishwasher and cook and contractor that he had. Why shouldn't everybody have that? What, is it a zero-sum game? I got mine. It drove me nuts when people in the Obama years would call this radio show and say, well, I'm doing great under President Obama's plan. My health care is doing... Well, it's not about you. How about the millions that aren't doing so great? Anyway, so I got into this with Paul Ryan last night. My biggest problem is this, and we'll get into this with Larry Kudlow in the next hour. The Reagan tax cuts worked. I went into this in great specificity and detail. I'm going to do something tonight. It's a really cool twist, and I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you the speech of Kennedy, show you the speech of Reagan, show you what they did, tell you why it's successful. And the only missing ingredient that I see, and it's a big one, in what the president's proposing, he's right 7 brackets to 3. He's right on the postcard size return or do it online. He's right on repatriation of trillions from multinationals. He's right on, he wanted 15. Looks like because of reconciliation, the corporate tax will be 20%, better than the 35%. People will invest, multinationals, corporations will invest in factories, manufacturing centers. Well, that's good for people that are out of work and in poverty and on food stamps and so on and so forth. That's what, by the way, the Washington Post would never want to hear. You know, conservatives care about them. And we're not the caricature lie that liberals say every 2 and 4 years. And conservatives want everybody to do well. And we believe in the individual. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN. We'll have Larry Kudlow on all this. And the only thing I said to Ryan, I said, well, it actually, there's a great irony here. You live in New York. You live in California. California is a 13.5% state income tax. In New York, you got 9% top marginal rate in New York on top of the 40% federal tax. Then you got a New York City tax. Guess what? That's not going to be deductible. You know who's going to suffer? Big liberal states that suck, including mine. But I'm not wanted. Governor Cuomo doesn't want people like me that are pro-life and pro-Second Amendment. They're not New Yorkers. They're not. We don't want them. And then I had every governor in the country saying, come here. I definitely want to live in Florida. It's so beautiful here today. Anyway, many thanks to our affiliate down here, News Radio 1290 WJNO. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. All right, load it up. When we come back, Newt Gingrich, we'll check in with Larry Kudlow on the economy. We got the other news of the day, Jonathan Gillum, and we will check in with Rick Unger, and we'll get to your calls, 800-941-SHAWN. In Palm Beach today, thanks to our friends and affiliate here, News Radio 1290 WJNO. Hannity tonight, our new time, 9 Eastern, Rush Limbaugh. Rare interview. He was on his game. You don't want to miss it. Hope you'll watch. Set your DVR. Tell your friends.
I look forward to working with Congress to deliver these historic tax cuts and reforms to the American people. These tax cuts are significant. There's never been tax cuts like what we're talking about. Our framework is based on 4 key ideas. First, we will cut taxes for the everyday, hardworking Americans, the people that work so long, so hard, and they've been forgotten. But they're not forgotten anymore. I think we proved that on November 8th. Under this framework, the first $12,000 of income earned by a single individual will be tax-free. And a married couple won't pay a dime in taxes on their first $24,000 of income. So a married couple up to $24,000 can spend their money on their family, on their children, on what they have to do. So much better. In other words, more income for more people will be taxed at a rate of zero. At this 0% rate, taxable income will be subject to just 3 tax rates of 12%, 25%, and 35%.
All right, glad you're with us. That was the president laying out his plan from yesterday. Sean Hannity Show, Hour 2, and we are in Palm Beach, Florida. Many thanks to our affiliate down here, News Radio 1290 WJNO. And we hear Rush does not do a lot of TV interviews, and I can just tell you he was in the zone and on his game today. And we're going to run it in 2 parts. We got to spend a lot of time with him today, and we'll actually get reaction tonight from our next guest to the president and some of Rush's comments. And he knows him very well also, former Speaker of the House, author of the number one New York Times bestselling book, Understanding Trump. And he now has a new online class that he's teaching about defense. And where do you go to the website for that? How are you?
It's called Defending America Course com, and it's really about how to defend us against liberals and how to make sure that we have the answers and we can win the arguments. And I'm really looking forward to your show tonight with Rush. He, as you said, he almost never does television anymore, and he is has such unique views. He expresses himself so amazingly. It's no wonder he's been an institution now for some 30 years. Just a remarkable part of the American scene.
You know, I didn't finish my thought in the first hour, but one of the things, when he did radio, when he first came out, and he syndicated, I think it was 1988, because I think I started, my first radio venture was in 1987. And I remember being in the radio station when somebody told me, oh, you got to listen to this guy. He does these funniest homeless update things, and it's hilarious, and he's really good, and he's a strong conservative. And but he took a lot of slings. He took a lot of hits. And as he went through all of that independently, it did pave a way for all of us, you know, that followed him. And for that, you got to give him so much credit as one of the great pioneers. And he really did make everybody else's job easier, like you did with politics. I wish Congress had half the courage that you showed in 1995 after you won a historic election in 94 on ideas. Now, you paid a personal price for it in the end. I mean, they never stopped going after you. But the country, we did balance the budget. We did have welfare reform. And you did keep promises. And that's something that really isn't happening today.
Well, I have to say, I agree with you that we need more of that kind of approach. But I had a very good talk that night with Speaker Paul Ryan, and I know you had him on your show. And I think they're making a really serious effort on cutting taxes, and I think it's a pretty good plan. I mean, I'm relatively comfortable that they got a lot of work to do. They got to still get it done. But they've had a pretty good start with the White House, the House, and Senate all on the same page in terms of what they're going to try to accomplish.
Yeah. All right. I look at the plan, and it really represents everything that the president said when he was running for office, which I always appreciate because I believe if you make promises, you ought to keep them. And I think that was one of the most – that was the beauty in many ways of the contract with America, and one of the reasons not only did you win the Congress for the first time in 40 years, and that's when you became Speaker – but you were able to hold on to the Congress, and a lot of good things got done. And Bill Clinton came along and finally did what you wanted him to do, and you never got the credit for beating him. But, you know, here's the plan. 7 brackets to 3, postcard return, or do it online in seconds, and you don't need to hire 50 accountants. Then you've got, you know, 3 brackets instead of, what, however many brackets we have now. It's, you know, it's going
like
to be
7.
Yeah, 7 to 3, 12, 25, and 35, standard deduction, child credit expanded, eliminate the alternative minimum tax. Corporate tax is going to be 20%, which is below the industrialized average of the industrialized world at 22.5, repatriation of trillions for multinationals. The only thing I see missing, and I said it yesterday on radio and TV, is that even though the rates may be down for the top rate, if you live in New York, you live in California, you live in Illinois or New Jersey or any of these states that have a high state income tax, your rate's down, but you're paying more. And I like across the board net cut. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, first of all, I like an across the board net cut, period. Second, they're really making, and this has been a long conservative argument, of why should a state, take Florida, who doesn't have a state income tax, why should states that have less expensive government indirectly subsidize states that have really expensive government? If Connecticut, and I mean the really big ones, Connecticut, New York, California, if they want to have expensive government, that's fine, but why should they charge the rest of us who have lower taxes and less government, and now we're transferring money? I think that's the core. This has long been a conservative argument. In addition, it turns out to be a fair amount of money, and they've used that to dramatically increase the middle class exemption. They've doubled the amount that you exempt before you pay any taxes at all.
I don't want to give away the Rush interview today, and I'll ask you to delve into this more deeply after you hear it tonight, although we're running it in two parts. I'm not sure what part's running tonight and what part's tomorrow, but I'm going to make this a little bit part of my opening monologue. And he said if the Republicans could just suck it up for 3 months, and just do the things they said they would do. And I, you know, I've been arguing, why doesn't Mitch McConnell put every senator in a room and turn off the air conditioner? Like, you know, it's 1787 again. And I'll even throw in modern day pizza and whatever beer they like and make them stay in there until they really come up with a plan to repeal, replace and keep a 7.5 year promise. But Russia's point was, if they do that, if they do get the economy going in a Reagan Kennedy like way, in a Newt Gingrich like way, if they secure the border, if they open up energy, make the country stronger, it's such a good point. They'd be in power for generations. They would benefit politically, and they're not doing it.
Of course. Of course. And then, you know, I mean, I think they are going to come back again on health care. I happened just by accident to be at the White House today with I ran into the president with both Senator Graham from South Carolina and with Senator Cassidy from Louisiana, who of course have their particular approach. They were all, you know, they're still working to find a way to get this stuff done. And the president said publicly he's not backing off. He's probably going to start taking some steps in the next week or two. I'm going to see my good friend, Dr. Tom Price, tomorrow morning, who is the head of Health and Human Services. I think he has a whole plan to take steps since the Congress has not yet done it. I think you're going to see continued pressure to reform and replace Obamacare. At the same time, I think the heart of the game this fall is the tax bill. If they can get the tax bill through the House by the end of October, get it through the Senate the first week in November, get it through conference the second week of November, and get it signed into law the week before Thanksgiving, and if it has the kind of effect that I think it will have on the economy, this is going to be a really big deal. You know, we're at 3.1% growth for the second quarter. It's going to slide a little bit in the third quarter because of the hurricanes. But I think with this kind of tax cut on top of the deregulatory activities the president's undertaking, you could see pretty healthy economic growth the first 9 months of next year. And if you get that, I think the Republicans keep the House and actually add about 5 or 6 seats in the Senate.
You know, I think you're right. I think there's probably two other things that would be extremely helpful. One is, you know, and the president opened up ANWR. The president got rid of a lot of regulation. I think one of the best things, I'll give you an example. Paul Ryan, I talked to him privately, and then I had him on the show last night. I don't know if you had a chance to watch. Any chance you had a chance to watch?
Yeah, I read it.
What do you mean you read it? Would you ever want to watch me when you can read it? Is that what you
said? Well, no, I don't know. I wouldn't say it that. Listen, I watch you a lot, and I'll be watching you again tonight. Don't give me that.
No, I didn't watch you, Hannity. I can't take too much
look,
of that.
I'm old enough. I actually read.
But you know, it's so much easier if you just sit there and drink a. I remember you used to drink these Foster Lagers when you were the speaker, the Australian beer that you loved. And I'm like, you could at least. It's easier than reading, and you know? It's more entertaining. And you see my facial expressions and everything.
I'm going to tell Calista, yeah, get me a six pack of Foster. I'm going to watch Hannity. Do you know how that sounds? I can't watch Hannity without something to soften the blow. That's what that sounds like.
Oh man! No, it just is. It would be less for you. All right, let me get to this point because I'm going to miss it. So the bills that were passed out of committee. Well, forget that part. So if you go back to the Bush years, Obama years, and then the Trump years, you know, Paul Ryan made a pretty compelling case in this way. They passed more bills out of committee, 338, than in all the – it was the highest average of all the last five presidencies. Bills passed out of the House that were the highest in the last 5 years. The bills enacted is below average because the number of bills the House passed and are stuck in the Senate, and good bills by the Cates Law and Sanctuary Cities and a bunch of other laws, Mitch McConnell can't get done. And he still hasn't even gotten half of the government, you know, that the president asked for, all these people approved yet.
Well, I think that the Senate is much harder than the House. I was Speaker of the House. I have no great sympathy for the Senate. I do think, and I've talked to a lot of senators in the last week, I have every reason to believe that you're going to see the Senate be Republicans be more aggressive As you know, they're already moving on the blue slip practice of stopping appeals court judges, and they're going to change the rules on that, I think. And I think they're going to start pushing very hard to force Schumer to either keep his people in session all night and have a genuine effort to filibuster, or, you know, be quiet and just get things done. So I think you'll see a pretty big acceleration. I'm encouraged that it sounds to me like they're going to get the budget through both the House and the Senate so that they can set up the reconciliation process for the tax cut. That is an enormous step in the right direction. And I'm
you said 50% chance when I talked to you a few weeks ago. Do you feel better about it now?
Yeah, I'm up in about 70. I think their rollout has been so good. And I think, frankly, as you'll remember, I am adamant about small business tax cuts being at the very heart of economic growth. I think they're doing a good job. They currently are proposing the lowest small business tax rate in 80 years. It's a 40% tax cut for a small business. That, to me, says a lot. They're talking about a very substantial improvement for the middle class. And you triggered something. I'm going to actually look up the numbers and see if I can get them. There's about $470 billion a year spent on tax compliance. You know, filling out the forms, having either an accountant or having some tax service, all that stuff. If you could substantially reduce that for the middle class, it's probably the equivalent of another $100 billion in tax cuts annually, because you no longer have to go out and hire this. And I think that's why you hear Paul Ryan say over and over again, most people are going to be able to fill out their form on a large postcard. Now, I want them to produce the large postcard. You know, I mean, I'm a marketer like Trump and Reagan. I believe if you make it clear and vivid, people see it much easier. So I want to see the Paul Ryan postcard tax form and wave
that's such
it around.
A good idea.
I want to get it on your show, and then people can see it.
All right, Mr. Speaker. What a lineup we have tonight. So we got, I think, one of my better monologues. I spent a lot of time on it tonight. We've got you, and we've got Rush Limbaugh. I can't deliver a better show for our audience. That's 9 Eastern, our new time tonight. And as always, we love having you on. Congrats on the book, and congrats. We have on our website your book and the defense course that you're teaching now. And I know teaching is in your heart of hearts what you love to do. You're a professor.
It's great, and I look forward to tonight. I'm really going to be so much fun to watch Rush. He is so good at this stuff. And DefendingAmericaCourse.com is where people can go for this new. It's really designed to answer the left on the things they say they're just not true.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for being with us. We'll see you tonight, 9 Eastern, our new time on the Fox News Channel. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. So, Linda, so we're down here in Palm Beach, right?
And yes.
Okay, so we just went to get something to eat at lunch.
Yes.
And we go to the ocean.
Yes.
And I'm like, it's like this in December and January and February. Why do you keep me in New York?
Why do you insist I stay there? I want to know why you're taking lunch. There's no time for lunch on this show. Why are you taking lunch?
We really just picked up a sandwich. That's all we did.
There's no time for picking up sandwiches. We have things delivered on this show, okay? We have them bring it to us. We get the work.
Okay, this isn't New York. They don't deliver in Palm Beach
see, that's
at
what
4
happens.
In the morning.
You get lazy in Florida. It's too beautiful.
All right. Larry Kudlow next.
Get to the process in a second. Let's go over the plan. 7 brackets to 3. Middle class tax cuts,
yes.
Standard deductions, child care tax cut is expanded. You eliminate the alternative minimum tax, corporate rate 20%. The president said he wanted 15 when he was running. 22.5 is the industrial
average.
Okay,
so we're below the worldwide average.
Right, and then repatriation of trillions overseas to incentivize them to bring money over.
That's right. That's right.
And you can put it on a postcard or do it online.
Yes.
Explain.
So,
give more detail.
You just said a lot right there.
Yeah.
So here's what this is about. This is about delivering middle-class taxpayers tax relief. There are a lot of people in this country working paycheck to paycheck. A lot of people in this country, because of the slow growth economy we had in the Obama years, never got a raise. A lot of economic anxiety. So this is really about them. This is about letting those hardworking taxpayers keep more of their own money and giving them a tax break. But also simplifying the system so much that 9 out of 10 taxpayers can fill out their taxes on a postcard, cleaning it up, simplifying it. And by the way, by getting rid of loopholes, You are making the system more fair so people who make the same kind of money pay the same taxes. It's fairness. It's unrigging the economy. It's getting all the connected crap out of the tax code. Excuse me for saying that, but this tax code is 31 years.
We say a lot worse. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry.
It's 31 years of special interest carve-outs put in this tax code. And as a result of that, people pay higher tax rates. Get the junk out of the code, lower the tax rates. I'd say this. First of all, for high-income taxpayers, they've done really well. It's the middle class that has really gotten squeezed in this country. So on the income tax rates for people's personal taxes, what the president feels very strongly about and Congress agrees is it's the middle class are the people who need the tax break. People who are low and middle income, they're the ones who are literally living paycheck to paycheck, who are worried about losing their job or not. They haven't gotten a raise in years. This is about them and not about people who are really high income earners getting a break.
All right, that was Paul Ryan from Hannity last night on the Fox News Channel, 24 now till the top of the hour. He had a response. Somebody that knows the economy as well or better than anyone, and he's written a terrific book on this very subject. I think it's well worth reading. As a matter of fact, if you watch our monologue tonight, what I'm doing on television, I'm going to lay all of this out, how all of this worked for John F. Kennedy and the Reagan Revolution and the secret history of American prosperity. And the only thing, Larry, that I don't like in these cuts that came out of the interview with Paul Ryan last night, I actually said it yesterday in my monologue and said it yesterday on radio, is it's, you know, when they say that, well, you know, quote, the rich aren't going to get any tax cut. Look, I want the middle class to get the biggest chunk of tax cuts because they're being taxed to death. And Obamacare up $8,000 on average has killed them and crushed them. And I don't want poor people paying taxes. 50% of wage earners don't pay any income tax, federal income tax. But if we're going to cut taxes for corporations, I wanted it lower than 20. It looks like it's going to be 20. We're going to repatriate the trillions of multinationals. We're going to create the energy jobs. Well, the whole idea is for people to now invest and spend money. And if you lower the top rate and they're paying less, once you get rid of the deduction for state and local taxes, the rate may be lower, but you're paying more money. If you did that, I think it would just stimulate the economy more.
Yeah, I mean, look, by the way, your Ryan interview was terrific last night. I think you're right. First of all, I'm holding out for 15. Donald Trump was holding us for 15 on the corporate rate, but I guess that's passed by. What I don't want to see, Sean, is the top rate increase. There was some talk about moving it from 39.6 to 44%. Now it's supposed to be at 35, but there could be a higher bracket. I don't like to pander to the left on this whole business about taxing the rich and getting the rich guys. Rich guys invest in the economy. You know, if you're going to start a new company, you're going to need some help on investment. So you go to the people that have the money. Or let me put it to you differently. I want to make the non-rich rich. But if I penalize them as they move up the ladder, they're not going to get there. So these are all issues. I hope we're going to avoid them. I really do. I don't think the president really is on a warfare against rich people. But let me add
I don't think it's the president at all. I don't want to give away the interview. Rush was on fire today. And what he said, and I'm going to turn, it's actually going to be a combination of what Reagan did, what Kennedy did, and what Rush was saying is 3 months. All we need is 3 months of courage of Republicans in the House and Senate. And if they had 3 months of courage and they did the tax cuts and they reformed the tax code and they could actually repeal and replace and control the borders and make us energy independent, that they would be in power for generations. And I've been saying the same thing. It would be great for them politically, but they're a bunch of cowards. They're so spineless and lacking identity. It's frustrating.
Well, this is a very important 10 weeks, Sean, very important. And if the management of Congress, you know who I'm talking about, if they muff this, if they blow this, oh, my gosh, because this is a tremendous opportunity. So I got my fingers crossed. Look, one other point. All the things you were discussing, the lower corporate tax rate, the repatriation, bringing the money home, the immediate write-offs for investment. Let me tell you. What the studies show is that the biggest beneficiary of business tax cuts, large and small, are middle-income wage earners. They're the ones that benefit from investment. They're the ones that benefit from new startups. And they're the ones that benefit from a healthy business. See, this point has to be made over and over again. President Trump, I might add, in his last three speeches, is now making this point. But it is a middle-class cash cow. Companies create jobs, and good jobs create higher wages. You got to connect the two. The business tax cut is very important, as is one other thing, doubling the standard deduction, which we put into the campaign tax cut plan, because that is going to take a lot of people. They won't need the deductions. They'll have more take-home pay. That's a very important part of this. So the business tax cut, the doubling of the standard deduction are aimed, Sean, directly at middle-class wage earners.
I love that it's directed at them, and that's my background. Look, Larry, you know a lot about me. I don't want to echo my past. That's my background. And you know what?
Yes.
Those are the people that deserve to be served. You know, I don't even know how to explain the colossal failure, the lack of urgency. I live my life with a kind of sense of urgency and let's go, let's go, let's go, move, 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 let's go, let's go, let's go. And my whole, for example, everybody that works for me knows that I roll this way, and everybody rolls that way too. Nobody eats lunch, goes, do you ever go out to eat lunch? Do you have lunch dates? Do you ever go to a restaurant for lunch? Do you ever sit down and say, oh, I'm going to have a 3-martini lunch or whatever? I don't know where
Sean,
people get the time for that. What?
Almost never. Almost never.
Exactly.
And let me add to that. I'm not as young as I used to be, but I have worked 6 days a week for my entire career, Sean. And I am still, you know, I have my radio show on Saturdays. I'm still working 6 days a week.
You got TV, radio, you've got your own company. I don't even know how many companies you have, probably like 100. You're a great entrepreneur.
Not that good.
That's the only way I roll. You know, if somebody in my staff ever said to me, oh, we're going to lunch, I'll be back in an hour, I don't even know how I'd react. What do you mean you're going to lunch? And by the way, I do help facilitate it. My staff will agree. I buy them anything they want for lunch, and that's on my dime. That's just, you know, that's not a bonus. It's just my way of saying don't leave. Don't
bring
go out
in.
For lunch. Bring it in.
Bring it in. That's great. I love that, Sean, by the way. That's
and you want to know the funny thing?
Working on Wall Street.
I don't even know what I'm going to eat for lunch. They kind of pick it for me every day. And it's always something,
Sean,
that they know I'm going to love, but I wouldn't order myself because I try and act like a skinny guy.
Well, okay.
What were you going to say about Wall Street?
Additionally,
yeah.
One thing, you're not, look, punishing rich people, so-called, quote-unquote, punishing them does not create middle-income jobs. That's an important point, and we have to rebut this Chuck Schumer nonsense or Hillary Clinton that it's all for the rich. Punishing the rich, punishing success, will not help creation of new businesses, new jobs, and new wages. Believe me, they all go together. They're not at war. The successful people in this country are not at war with the middle class. And the middle class in this country is not at war with successful people. They go together. And what the Democrats don't understand is that they go together. And I think that's an important talking point.
Can I tell you, so recently, you know, they've got these like Soros-funded groups. And if you're a conservative on radio and TV, they monitor every word you say because they want to get you fired and they want to boycott you. And they don't want conservative voices to be heard anyway. You know, somebody pointed out that one day I had Geraldo on the program, and Geraldo, you know, he's been on television now 50 years, and he was explaining that when the Reagan tax cuts kicked in, and in the course of his presidency, top rates went from 70 to 28%, he said, I had all this extra money. He said, I went out and bought a helicopter. And I said, I made the point, well, in all my years as a dishwasher, cook, busboy, waiter, bartender, house painter, wallpaper hanger, tile layer, framer, and roofer, which is almost 2 decades of my life, in all those, I never got a job from a poor person. And they're mocking
right.
it. Oh, tax cuts for the rich. Geraldo will buy a helicopter. I was thankful when rich people came, when people could afford to buy dinner at the restaurant I was working at, because I made money. And you know what? If you're in the helicopter making business and you're on the service line and
sure.
you're building them and nobody's buying them,
right.
you're not going to be working.
See, that's the thing. Okay, so Geraldo bought a helicopter, God bless him. But guess what? A lot of people are working to make the helicopter and
exactly.
to sustain the helicopter. I mean,
right.
this is
and
like
fly
years,
it.
Years ago, they got a sales tax on yachts. I don't know if you remember this, when Papa Bush was president. He made a deal with George Mitchell. It's a terrible deal. Well, guess what? The boating industry in New England was destroyed. Was destroyed because they couldn't fund the sales tax. People make things, and therefore we want to encourage
Stay right there. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Larry Kudlow, CNBC host, author of the book JFK and the Reagan Revolution, The Secret History of American Prosperity. It's such a great read. We'll have more on this tonight on Hannity. We're in West Palm Beach, by the way, and News Radio 1290 WJNO. And Rush will be our special guest on Hannity tonight, our new time. Remember, 9 Eastern. We hope you'll tell your friends because liberals want me to fail. 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. All right, as we continue with Larry Kudlow, CNBC, and, you know, we were just talking about, I want you to go back to the point you're just making and about ships not being bought or yachts not being bought. You know what? One time in my life for like, I don't know, I had fallen off a roof and busted my arm and a guy got me a job. I could barely pay my rent at the time and I was living in Rhode Island and a guy got me a job in a boatyard. And I remember it was a particularly slow period and the owner of the boatyard, he decided to keep everyone working by building a spec. He used to build these dinner cruise boats. That's what they used to build, the Blount Marine in Warren, Rhode Island. And I remember everybody appreciated the fact that he was betting that he was going to be able to sell, you know, the next one that he was building. But it was his money. And I'm glad he spent it. Otherwise, I would have been back on the unemployment line.
Right. You know, people forget. All these lefties forget. They look at rich people like they come from another planet and they hate them. But the important thing is, people work with their hands still today in the 21st century. Plumbers, contractors, carpenters, even computer fixer-uppers. People work with their hands. And you've got to support those people by keeping the business going and the jobs going. And if you're punishing success, you're not going to get any of it. You're not going to get any of it. So it just doesn't make any sense. And I think Trump's got his finger on this. I read his speech yesterday. He's got his finger on this. I'm really happy. And by the way, he finally mentioned the John F. Kennedy tax cuts. I had been asking him to put it in all during the campaign, and he finally did it. Yesterday, I was very proud of myself.
Yeah. How soon do you think we would see the benefit of assuming, by the way, and you got to admit, with the Republicans' incapability of getting things done and their lack of urgency, and Mitch McConnell's, frankly, his impotence, he's the worst that I've ever seen in my life. But with all that said, how soon would it kick in, assuming that the president's plan, as stated, gets pushed through?
Not longer than 3 months, and it might even be sooner.
Did you see another quarter of 3% growth, by the way?
Yeah, well, good. Good, good, good. I'm not sure the third quarter is going to be that good. But putting that aside, you've got all these business people, large and small. They have money. They have been making profits. But they won't pull the trigger, Sean. They won't pull the trigger for the new investment, for the new business and the new job until they see what Congress is going to do. They must.
All right, Larry,
see
I got to. Yeah, go ahead. Last word.
All right. Just say they've got to see Congress tell them and then they'll pull the trigger. And that can happen fast.
All right. Larry Kudlow. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Thank you. 800-941 Sean, if you want to be a part of the program, our weekly debate, Rick Unger, Jonathan Gillum, and your calls coming up next hour. 800-941 Sean. Don't forget, we're in West Palm Beach, Florida, by the way. We're at News Radio 1290 WJNO, Palm Beach's news source. Rush Limbaugh tonight. Don't forget our new time on the Fox News Channel. And he was on fire today. And I think I have one of my best monologues we put together on what it means for a country to be successful and thriving and how you get there and how everyone benefits. Anyway, that's 9 Eastern on Fox.
And there are plenty, personally, when they're protesting during a football game, I think they can find better places, but they cannot do it during the national anthem.
The NFL's in a box. They have to do something about it. They're disrespecting, and when I say they, in a way it is they because they can stop it. You know, they have rules for everything. You can't dance in the end zone. You can't wear the pink socks relative to breast cancer, which one of the players, they have rules for everything. Why aren't they honoring this country by enforcing a rule that's been in existence for a long time? So the NFL and the players really have to do the honor of the country. It's for the honor of the country. They have to respect our country. They have to respect our flag and our anthem.
What prompted that in Alabama?
Well, I have so many friends that are owners, and they're in a box. I mean, I've spoken to a couple of them. They say, we are in a situation where we have to do something. I think they're afraid of their players, you want to know the truth. And I think it's disgraceful. And they've got to be tough, and they've got to be smart, because you look at the ratings are going way down. The stadiums are, I've seen a couple of stadiums over the last few weeks. They are losing. There are a lot of empty seats. I couldn't even believe it. But when it comes to the respect of our nation, when it comes to the respect of our anthem and our flag, they have no choice. You have to have people stand with respect.
All right, so there's the president. NFL, yeah, they're in a really bad, bad box right now. And if the NFL doesn't change, it's going to go straight in the sewer. He said to hell, and he's right. How could a business thrive when all they're doing is alienating so many people in the crowd? And when is they ever going to have the courage to show the people in the crowd that are literally booing at the highest decibel level you can ever see? Look, this goes back to what I was saying earlier in the program today. You know, TV networks aren't showing the angry, booing NFL fans. And, you know, there you go. We got some of it. NFL camera operators, according to Red State, are told not to show the booing crowd when the players are kneeling during the anthem. And they're going to do it again this weekend. Good luck to them. Because ratings are down already significantly. They've lost some advertisers already. And you just keep watching what's happening. And, you know, I guess they have the Packers. I just don't think they survive very long without the year becoming a disaster. We had a source calling us yesterday on the program telling us, oh, we take calls for this team. I can't tell you which one. But by the way, we're inundated by season ticket holders, and then they're sick of it. And other people wanting refunds every single day. So, you know, if they want to keep this battle up, they want to keep this battle going. And I have a big challenge for them tonight. Big challenge for all these players tonight. And I hope you'll be watching. Something special we're going to do on Hannity on the Fox News Channel. All right, in the meantime, we welcome back to the program Rick and Unger of the infamous Rick and Unger, I'm Stealing Unger program, and Jonathan Gillum, who needs no introduction because he fills in on this program all the time. How are you, sir? Welcome back, both of you. Why don't we let Jonathan and Rick do it together once, Linda? Why didn't you ever let that happen?
I did do that, and I have offered that to Rick, but he's a busy liberal. He doesn't always have time to come on.
I'll do it again with Jonathan.
I think you can do a straight up hate Rick Unger hour, and I think it would probably rate really high.
You could fill the whole show.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
An hour. Yeah.
All right. You know, look, here we are, and I got to imagine Rick Unger, and I always start with you, and you always find a way to weasel out of what your party represents and stands for. And your side stands for.
It's because I talk for myself, not for a party.
Okay, but you're a liberal. But then anytime I ask you a question about liberalism, you say, well, that's everybody else but me. That's everybody else but me. I don't believe that. Oh, Hannity, but I have a very different position, which tells me that you're in real life when you come on this program, you're not acting like the liberal that I know you are. So I'm going to ask you. This isn't about race. How about respect for the flag, the anthem? How about respect for the people that want to come see a ball game, honor our military, and remember those that fought, bled, and died because of that flag? And those people that are, you know, in harm's way now in Afghanistan and elsewhere around the world that have to watch players taking a knee while they're there defending their rights and ability to do that.
Tell you what, if the people who are in harm's way around the world, and just like you, I get many calls from many vets on my program, if they're having a problem with it, I'd be having a problem with it. They aren't, I got to tell you. That's number one. Number two, you know what I'll refer you to? I'll refer you to Justice Scalia, because it doesn't get any more august or conservative than Justice Antonio Scalia, who wrote about burning the flag. And he said, you know what? I won't let anybody burn the U.S. flag, but the United States Constitution does. And therefore, I respect that. It's not about the words. It's about the sentiment that people in this country are allowed to have. Now, take out the words flag burning and put in kneeling before or during the national anthem. And I'm happy to follow the words of Justice Scalia.
You know, that's such a cheap way out. Jonathan, I know a lot of vets. I had them on last night. We had military people on last night. Pete Hegseth was on last night, and other great military guys. So my question is, I don't know one military guy that isn't offended by this. Not one. I don't know who Rick Unger's friends
with. You obviously don't listen. It's not even being friends. We had 12 calls last night from vets that we took. We were taking them first, and I was shocked. Not even one. I'm telling you, all 12. Happy
Are you
to
sure
give
that
you
wasn't
air
John
checks.
Kerry's swift boat?
No, it wasn't,
you know?
John Kerry. It was current, active, and a mix of current, active, and people who are no
sure
longer
wasn't
in
John
the military.
Kerry. Genghis Khan. Remember that comment? Oh my gosh.
So first of all, Rick, you know I love you, but there's no way to verify who's calling. You know, I've had that before when I've
hosted
shows.
So my caller's lying? No, I don't think so.
Who knows? Look, you have no idea who these people are in real life. Right. You don't have a DD-214 in front of you. So you got to take radio when somebody calls and says they're a vet. You got to take that with a grain of salt. And listen, I get attacked by people constantly on Twitter that there's no verification of who they are. They just say that they're a veteran, but we don't know. But I think, you know, here's the deal. I think there's a couple of things here. One, I think Justice Scalia was wrong. I like Justice Scalia, but I think he was wrong when it came to the flag. I think that's an action. It's not speech. I don't think the Constitution speaks to that. I think that what these individuals are doing at football games is an action, but I don't think that they're breaking the law. But I think that they're disrespecting not just the country, but the fact that there's 90,000 people in the stand standing to honor our nation and those people who serve it. And it's the only time every week in this country that you get that many people to stand together as one for the right reason, and they're ruining it. And
Jonathan,
the NFL,
when you're watching a game at home, do you stand when and try to tell the truth here? When you're sitting on the couch watching the football game and the national anthem begins, do you stand up?
No.
No. No. Okay. Just
but I'm not.
To
but
that
Rick,
point.
You're missing my point.
No, I don't think so.
So the point is, there's 90,000 people in a stadium standing for the right reason together, and these guys come in and disrupt that, and I think that's highly disrespectful. It's also highly disrespectful to pick that one specific thing that where they honor not just the flag, not just the country, but those who serve it. And it's a slap in their face, especially, and let me say this, the one thing that's not being mentioned a lot on the news is the fact that Colin Kaepernick and his girlfriend are communists. They're black separatists. Black Lives Matter was started by three Marxists.
I'm just curious why that's relevant. So, who
because
they are, what
the
they
basis.
Are, I don't know.
I'll
By the way, anybody can get on the radio, John. No, anybody can get on the radio and make an allegation like that. You told me that my callers are all frauds. They're all fakes. They're just saying they're military guys.
I didn't
guys.
Say your callers are all flawed. I say you got to take what if somebody says they're a veteran, you got to take
Well, how do we know that Colin Kaepernick and his girlfriend are communists?
Because they subscribe to the ideology of Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter is a Marxist group. When Colin Kaepernick shows up with socks that have pig cops on them, and then he wears a Che Guevara shirt, I would say he's leaning to the left towards communism.
Left and communism are just a very wide gap. By the way, if you go out to the suburbs where there
anymore.
Are a lot of wealthy white folks, they wear Che Guevara T-shirts and they don't even know who he is or why they're wearing it. So no, wearing a T-shirt probably doesn't brand you your political ideology.
Rick, that's the most racist, stupid thing I've ever heard you say. I've never called you a racist before.
I didn't call anybody
right
a racist
there,
either. Who said anything about a racist?
What you just said is racist. That's just racist.
What, that there are people out in rich neighborhoods wearing Che Guevara shirts? My point is not a racist.
They're wearing Che Guevara shirts.
My point is not a racist. They do it as a fashion statement. So why are you branding a guy a communist because he happens to subscribe to Black Lives Matter? By the way, was that fellow last Sunday who really turned the crowd at the Trump rally in Washington, a Black Lives Matter demonstrator who the folks at the rally did a really great thing. They put him up on stage and they let him say his piece. And I thought that was as American as it gets, and I applauded those Trump supporters. And when he was done, they were all agreeing and cheering together. Was he a communist? Because he was there for Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that guy's a communist, but here's
yes,
the thing.
Yes, you did. You said that Colin Kaepernick is a communist because he belongs to Black Lives Matter. So did that guy.
Colin Kaepernick wasn't the guy on
wait
the
a minute, wait a minute. Let me help out here. Let me help out. He was praising the murderer dictator, Fidel Castro.
Who
okay?
Was?
Colin Kaepernick.
Where?
It's when? All over.
How?
Do you ever read
I've
anything?
No, I don't read anything. You know, I do a talk show 3 hours a day, and I don't read a thing.
I'm wondering, how do you even do your show?
Isn't it amazing?
It really is. It's beyond amazing. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Sean, back to Jonathan.
Sean, let me say this, because here's the problem, is all these people get all riled up about this stuff, and they miss the basis of what these people stand for. And I'm just going to say this. I'm a huge NASCAR fan. I've been very proud of the way they've handled this. But
their
Dale
ratings
Earnhardt
are off,
Jr.,
too, by the way.
But Dale Earnhardt Jr. did one of the most ridiculously stupid things I've ever seen in not only supporting this nonsense, but then quoting JFK from a speech where he was telling communists, including Fidel Castro, that if they don't subscribe to a peaceful revolution, that may turn around and become a violent revolution. And he used that quote to talk about this. In other words, he's supporting a revolution in this country of some kind against the Constitution. It was the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
All you have to do is Google Colin Kaepernick Castro. First thing that comes up, Miami Herald. Unrepentant hypocrite Colin Kaepernick defends Fidel Castro. CNN, Miami fans jeer Kaepernick amid comments on Castro when he took the field during an interview that he had given elsewhere. Then the Washington Post. Colin Kaepernick grilled by Miami Herald reporter over Fidel Castro T-shirt. Bleacher Report. Colin Kaepernick praises Fidel Castro's education policy. Colin Kaepernick's Castro comments made Miami a long shot destination. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll continue.
Made him a communist. He's an education.
Okay, you missed my point. I said he praised a murdering dictator. Evidence. He praised a murdering dictator. You said, I need to check that. I checked it for you. It's called Google. Try it. It's a great new invention. We'll continue. Rick Unger, Jonathan Gillum, Sean Hannity Show. We are in Palm Beach, Florida. We'll continue. All right, as we continue with Jonathan Gillum and Rick Unger, well, every single article when you Google Rick Unger, Colin Kaepernick and Castro is him praising Castro, a murdering thug dictator. And that was the point I made. You said, no, he never did that.
No, I said I never saw it, which I hadn't. And I'm reading it, too. But let me ask you a question. I know you hate when I do that. You support a president.
It's not your show.
I know, but I still get to ask a question. It's also freedom of speech. But you support a president who has praised a number of murderous dictators. I can begin with Saudi Arabia. I can go from there. Why is that better than Colin Kaepernick praising somebody you don't like?
Excuse me, Donald Trump is the guy. He never took a penny from Saudi Arabia.
I didn't say he did. I said
Hillary
he praised
Clinton
him.
Took Hillary. I don't remember him praising anybody.
Really?
But he's trying to
Google,
broker.
You should try.
Hang on. Wait a minute. He also is trying to broker a peace without trying to totally change the Muslim world and shift some of these countries into democratic republics like we have, because we know the impact of American trying to change the way of life in certain Middle Eastern countries. It's not worked out too well, but he does want peace with Israel, and he's working to broker that peace, and he's recognizing that there are people that come from countries with values that we don't recognize, unlike Hillary, who took millions from these people, and she says she's a women's champion and gay and rights champion and religious rights champion, and they kill gays and lesbians. They persecute women, Christians, and Jews. He didn't take their money.
And I'm not a big fan of Castro. What's it got to do with taking their money? We're talking about an athlete who praised somebody that you don't particularly like. I don't particularly like him either, by the way.
All right, I got to let you both go. I'm just out of time. Rick Unger, you really annoy me, but we appreciate you being on the show. And Jonathan, you do not annoy me. We always love having you on the show. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. As we continue from West Palm Beach, many thanks to our affiliate down here. here. News Radio 1290 WJNO. Rush Limbaugh, New Time, Hannity, Fox News, 9 Eastern tonight. An interview you don't want to miss and an opening monologue I think you're going to like and learn a lot from.
You have no idea how great this feels to be back here at work in the people's house. As you can imagine, these last 3.5 months have been pretty challenging times for me and my family. But if you look at the outpouring of love, of warmth, of prayer, my gosh, Jennifer and I have been overwhelmed with all of that outpouring. And it's given us the strength to get through all of this and to get to this point today. And it starts with God. When I was laying out on that ball field, the first thing I did once I was down and I couldn't move anymore is I just started to pray. And I will tell you, it gave me an unbelievable sense of calm, knowing that at that point it was in God's hands. The first place I want to go to thank true angels along the way starts with the United States Capitol Police. Yeah. When I was elected majority whip, as you know, the elected leadership has a security detail. And if anybody ever wondered why we're assigned security detail, I surely found out that day. And let me tell you, I want to specifically mention Crystal Griner and David Bailey. But when I was laying there, not long after the first couple of shots were fired, I could hear a different caliber of weapon. And that told me that they had immediately engaged the shooter. And let me tell you, if they didn't act so quickly, and even after being shot both themselves, continued to engage the shooter and ultimately got him down, which not only saved my life, but saved the life of a lot of other people that are here in this chamber today. Crystal couldn't be with us today, but David Bailey is with us. David, you are my hero. You saved my life. Never either. Thank you so much.
All right, that was Congressman Steve Scalise making his way back into the House chamber earlier today. And look, I didn't want to say what I knew at the time because I don't think it's my place sometimes to pass on specific information. I knew the day that this happened and the days that followed that this was very, very, very touch and go. I forget the exact number of transfusions within like a 48, 72-hour period, but it was very high. And it just is one of those stories. You're just glad that somebody comes through all of that. And if you watch the video, we'll show you on Hannity tonight at 10 Eastern. You'll see for yourself. I mean, he still has a long way to go in terms of his recovery, and we know he'll get there. And you got to stop a minute. You got to think of, all right, here's a sniper, here's a baseball field, and here it's wide open. And then you think of the Capitol Hill police officers, and they walked into an open field. I have been shooting. I was really a pistol marksman, much more than a rifle shooter. I learned first on rifles, but I just like pistols better. It was just for me what I liked and what I enjoyed more. So I just stuck with that. But if it's a rifle and you have anybody with any margin of skill and basically in a higher turf, higher ground, and the police officers that walked into that open field, and I'd been to that field the night after this happened, we went there. We did the broadcast from there. I think it was even that night. And then we went to the congressional baseball game. We were covering all this for Fox. And I just remember thinking, wow, those cops were walking out there sitting ducks. It's a miracle they're alive. And they still have their severe injuries and things they're dealing with. And the other people that were shot, I met a number of them. And it's one of those things that you really realize, wow, things are politically so tense, so heated. It's so vitriolic. You know, and you're going to think this is a partisan comment. And it's really not. All these years of the Democratic playbook. Now the playbook is, since the tax bill has been announced, is class warfare. As I asked Paul Ryan last night, you know, there are a lot of people in states like New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, because you don't get to deduct state and local tax anymore. And if you live in California, that's 13.5%. If you're like me in New York, that's 10% additional income tax. Right now, the top federal rate, 39.6, they're going to lower it to 35 and say, oh, these are tax cuts for the rich. It's not, because it's a lower rate, but it's a higher amount of money you're going to pay because you lose your state income tax, local income tax deduction. And if you work in New York City, that's another 3%. So that's 40% and then 10% and then 3%. That's 53 cents out of every dollar. And then I live in the second highest property tax county in the country, Nassau County, where it happens to be where I grew up. And believe me, it's not worth the amount of money I pay in taxes. And you might say, well, Hannity, you're down in Florida today. I'm in the studios of News Radio 1290 WJNO, which is Palm Beach's news source. And here we are. We're doing the radio show. And we interviewed Rush is going to be on tonight. Hannity, our new time, 9 Eastern. He was saw him earlier today. He was amazing today. That's why he's, you know, he is the icon that he's always been. And his take on everything was pretty phenomenal. I'm actually building my monologue off of two things tonight that Rush said to me as we're following two topics, assuming the news doesn't change between now and 9 o'clock. Anyway, welcome back, Steve Scalise. And I just look at the left. And all these times you go to your playbook, Republicans are racist, Republicans are racist, Republicans are racist, white supremacist. Never heard any of this language before. You know, just now we're hearing it every day. White nationalism. Right? Nobody I know in the conservative movement knows these people. Nobody wants these people in their lives. They have no place in the American debate and society. Nobody. I don't know any prominent conservative Republican in the country that they can name, that I would even know, that espouses these sick, twisted, ugly views that they say we espouse. Just like poor Mitt Romney was a misogynist because Mitt Romney had a binder of women's resumes, and with that binder, he actually wanted to hire them if he was elected president. And then it's, you know, xenophobic and homophobic and Islamophobic. Wow, you say radical Islam. Oh, can't say that. That's Islamophobic. Well, those that pervert the religion of Islam and in the name of Allah go out and kill innocent men, women, and children, and we see it happening almost weekly. Yeah, they're radicals, and yeah, they're trying to, you know, it's convert or die in their world, and they think they get 72 virgins in heaven, and you can't talk about it. Or if you want to control your borders, you're against immigrants. No, we just want you to go through the normal, lawful process of coming into the country. And most people I know are libertarian. Most people I know, they don't really give a rip who you're dating, what you're doing, whose hands you're holding, and who you're kissing. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. We're so wrapped up in our own lives. And if people care, it's only for salacious gossip. They don't really care. They just want something to talk about when they go out with their friends and they have a beer, or they go out with their friends and have dinner. It's really frustrating. And meanwhile, issues of real importance and significance get pushed aside. It's so frustrating. All right, we're in Palm Beach today. Rush tonight. Don't forget our new time. I want to thank everybody, too. I did this on television the other night, and I'll do it again. Look, it's just a fact. Even because I've invited guests on this program that these well-funded, multi-million dollars funded organizations that target conservatives and want to silence conservative voices, you know, the real liberal fascists in this country. We've taken a lot of heat just for having guests on the program this week, like Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh. And the fact that I'm on at an earlier time seems to irritate the living daylights out of people that have been trying to get my voice also silenced all these years, too. And this, it's beyond understanding, because I thought liberals were tolerant. Liberals were open-minded. Liberals, you know, believed in freedom of speech. Look at the free speech movement begins in Berkeley. And, well, it's not working out too well in Berkeley now. And also, you know, the media, I've read all the pieces, you know, even when we win, we won every night in the ratings this week, number one in cable. And first thing I want to say is thank you to all of you. But there's a whole large group of people in the media that can't tolerate it, and they want to see the show fail. And I don't want to fail, because I feel in my heart that what we're doing and trying to do is so different from what the other offerings of the mainstream alt-left destroy Trump media. And all they want to talk about is destroying the president, delegitimizing him. They never talk about problem solutions, answers to the problems that we face as a country. They use every wedge, identity, political issue that they can find. They are advancing an ideology like they've never advanced before. It's never been this bad. And, you know, I just I do appreciate it, because the only reason that we've had success, both in radio and TV, is because you listen and you watch. And I know that. I understand that. And, you know, my job is like any other service industry. I want to serve you with news and information and strong opinions that you're not going to get anywhere else. And the fact that it even exists drives these people crazy. So I hope you'll keep listening. Hope you'll keep watching. Hope you'll tell your friends. And so far, the reaction's been good in the move to 9. And as evidenced by, well, ratings is important. Ratings determine whether you live or die, frankly, in this industry. All right, Jeannie, speaking of Florida, she's in Clearwater, not far from here. Jeannie, hi, how are you? Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show. Welcome to Palm Beach. How are you? What's going on today?
Good, Sean. Listen, I love talking to Jeannie. And I want to tell you, yay, that you went to 9 o'clock. I love it. And you know what? For any of your listeners who watch you, just so you know, down here in Florida, if for any reason you miss part of the show, you are on again at midnight. So
Really?
Can watch it at 9, and we can watch it again at midnight.
The TV show.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And you know what? Let's say you can't watch it one night. You're out with your friends or whatever. You still can DVR and watch it when you get home. And, you know, I honestly, I've been paying a little bit more attention than I usually do. I haven't spent a lot of time watching other shows. And I just sort of been surveying the cable news landscape lately. I can't believe how bad it's gotten. I can't believe how unhinged these people are. And you're going to say, well, you talk about it, you should know. And I'm like, yeah, when I watch it, my staff usually watches it. And they tell me what these idiots are saying. When I watch it myself, my jaw drops in just utter astonishment at the pure hatred that they have for the country. But I'll tell you, Jeannie, it's different. It's worse. They have contempt for us, those that voted for Trump, those that wanted change, those that want to improve the country, those that are sick and tired of failure, those that do take pride in the country. They have contempt for us. Go ahead.
You know why, Sean? Because we are at a time now where this is good against evil. This is God against Satan. And I'm not a religious person per se, but I am very spiritual. And I believe God put you in the position that he did because you are a spokesman for all of us out here who feel the same way you do. And we know that Donald Trump is fighting every single day to do what is good for our country and what is good for everybody, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're green, whether you're purple, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether you're gay, whether you're straight. It doesn't matter. And give the people credit. We do see what the media are out there trying to propagate and procrastinate and do whatever the hell they want to do when they're saying on TV, which is why the vast majority of us no longer watch them. And we watch you and we listen to you because you are in the fight of your life, and we understand that. And we will stand behind you, and we will stand behind the president 110% because you speak the truth. And the truth is what is the most important thing that people need to understand. This is really, you know, that's like these football players. You make more in the short period of time that I made in my whole entire life working. And you know what? I couldn't stand Obama. And I respect my flag, and I respect our national anthem. You have total disrespect, and I'm ashamed for you that you would do what you do.
I am beyond honored by what you're saying. But am I allowed to say I think God made a mistake, that there's a lot of better people out there than me? I don't know. Is that allowed? Because I kind of feel like he could have done a lot better than Sean Hannity. I know my imperfections in life. So, but I will say this. And Jeannie, don't underestimate your role in this. And I say this to everybody, but I understand my role's a little more public, and I don't want any of them to like me. If they like me, if the media critics like me, if they say nice things about me, I'm probably not doing my job good enough. But I'm going to say this. We are all spokes in a wheel here. And we'll say, okay, Trump is the center of the wheel. We all need to support the agenda if we want to fix the country, which we want to do. God bless you. By the way, it is paradise down here, Jeannie. It is It is so beautiful. I am like, what in God's name am I doing in New York in the middle of winter? It is gorgeous. It really is in Florida. All right, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Hey, listen, you know how much we all here at the Sean Hannity Show love the Dollar Shave Club. I love that Sweet Baby James doesn't have those little white pieces of paper all over his face. He now uses the Executive Blade. Linda loves it. Lauren loves it. Ethan loves it. Jason uses it for his mohawk. We all picked it individually. We all love the Executive. But the people at the Dollar Shave Club, they make high-quality personal grooming products for your hair, your face, your skin, your shower. They've got everything your bathroom needs, all delivered to your house. And their blades and their products are a third less of what you'll pay in any store. They're higher quality than you'll buy in any store. For example, their blade is the best blade you've ever had, the Dr. Carver Shave Butter. You'll never use shaving cream again. Everything is super high quality, lower price, conveniently delivered to your house, and you don't pay to be a member of the Dollar Shave Club. And if you've never tried it, you know, you get your first month starter set for just $5. That's it. It includes their travel size shave butter, their body cleanser, certainly their best razor, the Executive Blade. And after that, you know what? You only pay what you pay. You only pay for the things you buy. That's it. And it's so convenient, and it's the best products you've ever had at a lower price. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/Hannity. dollarshaveclub.com/Hannity. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue. We're in Palm Beach. Many thanks to our affiliate down here, News Radio 1290 WJNO. This is Palm Beach's news source. This is the Sean Hannity Show. Rush Limbaugh, tonight, Hannity, our new time, 9 Eastern. Hope you'll join us. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Many, many thanks to our affiliate down here in Palm Beach, News Radio 1290 WJNO. They've been so accommodating. Don't forget, Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern. I think you're going to love this opening monologue. Let's just say it's going to be a real good history lesson in how we can make this country great again. Then, rare interview, Rush Limbaugh will join us. Part one tonight, part two tomorrow. Newt Gingrich joins us tonight. That's all coming up, our new time, 9 Eastern. We hope you'll tell your friends. We hope you'll set your DVR. We'll see you back in New York tomorrow and tonight at 9. Thanks for being with us.